Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2, every word all year. We've been reading along. We've been reading through the prophets and the law. We've been reading through the poetry and the beauty of the Old Testament. But we were hungry for the presence of Jesus. We were hungry for this moment that we come to in this week's reading. The birth of this new thing in the world. The birth of this new way to approach God, this new way to come to God, like his children, like his sons and his daughters, this new way to come before him. Oh, I want to invite you into this. And precious ones, I did. I was talking to the Lord about our time together today, anticipating our time together today. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, if there was one thing, what do you want to say this Sunday? What do you want to say as we gather in worship? What do you want to say while your sons and daughters are listening? What do you have for our hearts? And just that quick, it wasn't a matter of, oh, hold on. It wasn't a matter of trying to coax the Lord out of it. Just that quick, I heard the Lord say, not alone. Not alone. And it kind of stopped me in my tracks a little bit because I was alone at the time. I was praying, I was studying, I was just having some time with the Lord. Not alone, he said. And then all of a sudden, I kind of felt an aloneness. And maybe I was feeling it for you, I don't know. And I'm sorry if this all sounds hokey, if this sounds woo-woo to you. You know, because, you know, sometimes people like me get woo-woo. Not Jason, but anyway. But you know what I'm talking about. But I'm just telling you, I know what it is to feel alone, even in a crowd. And I just, it kind of breaks my heart sometimes because I know that in this room right now, there are some people who feel very misunderstood. In this room right now, despite the fact that it's a room full of people, you feel very isolated. In this room right now, there are people who feel, alone. And for God to be able to say to you, not alone, not alone. So you're finding Acts chapter 1 and chapter 2. And to lead into that, I want to just remind you of what you read maybe earlier this week. If you were reading through every word all year along with us in the New Testament, we came to that last half of the Gospel of John, which is pretty much all Jesus sort of getting his friends, his disciples, his getting them ready for the moment that he would leave. I don't want your hearts to be troubled. I don't want you to be afraid, right? I'm going to go to the Father. I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to come again. I'm going to receive you to myself so that where I am, there you may be also. And don't be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in me, in my Father's house, right? I'm going to prepare a place. I'm going to receive you to myself. But there's some things that he says in that I just want to invite you into because in John chapter 14, in John chapter 14, Jesus says this. He says, look, I'm going to ask the Father, and he's going to send you another advocate, another comforter, another helper. He's going to come alongside you to help you and be with you forever. He's the Spirit of truth. And then he says this. He says, I will not leave you as orphans. John 14, 18. I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you desolate. I will not leave you isolated. I will not leave you alone. I won't. I won't. As I'm reading along every word all year, I came to another place just a couple of chapters later. You've got Acts chapter 2, but in John chapter 17, John records for us what Jesus was praying when he was praying in the garden. Matthew, Mark, Luke, they all tell us about Jesus praying in the garden, but only John tells us what he was praying in the garden. And among other things, here's what Jesus prayed. John 17, verse 20, he said, my prayer is not for these alone. My prayer is not just for Peter, James, and John, and the rest. My prayer is not just for Mary, and Martha, and Lazarus, and the rest. My prayer is not just for those people who have followed me through the wilderness and heard me speak. My prayer is not for these alone, but for all who will believe in me through their message. And there's something in my heart that just sees Jesus looking down through the corridors of time, from that time until now, seeing us, seeing you, seeing me, seeing us sitting here on a Sunday, needing to hear from the God who will not leave us alone. I remember this line as you're reading further in the Every Word All Year. After the resurrection, after the stone is rolled away and they can't find Jesus, after he's appeared to those two on the road to Emmaus and he appears, it says this. It says, on the evening of that first day when the disciples were together, doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them. I will not leave you alone. Yeah? I don't know if the doors of your heart have been locked tight for a while. I'm guessing there are some people in this room who know what it is to keep the doors locked up pretty tight for fear that people would see the parts that would bring you shame, for fear that people would correct you for the things that you don't know how to fix, for fear. The doors were locked for fear, but Jesus came and he stood in the midst of them. And here's what he said. The words are in red. Peace be with you. And after he said this, he showed them his feet and his hands. He showed them the nail prints. Peace be with you. Here's what I did for you. You can't fix it, but I did what it would take to fix it. See my hands, see my feet. Peace be with you. He showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And then Jesus says this, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Verse 22, John chapter 20, verse 22. And with that, Jesus breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. You're going to be in Acts chapter 2 here in a minute, right? And we're going to celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit into the world in a way that was totally new, that was totally fresh, that had never been seen before. But that moment in that upper room when Jesus comes to them, even though the doors are locked, and it says he breathes on them, and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. Man. If there were one moment in the Gospels that I could live, it would be that one. If there was one moment in the Gospels, some of you may say, well, I wish I could walk along the lake shore, right, with Jesus and the disciples. I wish I could be there when he was teaching, right, the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are you when you know. If there was one moment that I could live, it would be this one in John chapter 20. And he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. I can just feel that shiver down my spine as I think about it. Peace. You are not alone. I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you desolate. I will not leave you misunderstood, isolated, cut off. I will not leave you alone. I will not leave you alone. Amen. Book of Acts, you've got it turned there already, right? Book of Acts, you've got chapter 2, but let me just read you something out of chapter 1. Jason talked about it in that video this week. He says this, Jesus got the disciples out there, and he said, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. The gift that the Father had promised was the one who would not leave them alone. The one who would not leave them orphaned. The one who would not leave them cut off, isolated, misunderstood, desolate, or alone. Wait for the gift my Father promised. Receive the Holy Spirit. He said this. He went on and he said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will receive power to not despair. You will receive power to not give up. Amen. You will receive power to not be cut off, desolate, or alone. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And when you do, you will be my witnesses. You will bear witness of what it looks like to be the people of God. You will bear witness of what it looks like to be His. I am my beloved's and He is mine. You will bear witness. And I want to call your attention to something that you might miss when you hear Jesus speak and He says, don't leave Jerusalem. Wait for the gift. When you hear Jesus say, you will receive power. If you're not careful, you're going to hear this singularly. If you're not careful, you're going to hear this as saying, it's me and Jesus. Me and Jesus against the world. But I gotta play the Greek card on you for a minute, all right? What he's saying is, you all. You didn't know Jesus was from South Alabama, but he is. He's not just saying you, he's saying you all. You all will receive power. You all need to wait for the gift my Father promised you. You all will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you all, each individually, but you each, you all, will be my witnesses. Amen. And I just want you to know that when Jesus says He will not leave us alone, He's not just talking about this incredible gift, the third person of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's not just talking about the one who would live in you and be with you from now on and forevermore. He's also talking about how He will give us to one another. Maybe you've read it on our website. Maybe you've heard us talk about it from time to time. That idea of connecting people with God and with each other. Because I don't know if you know this, but if you're just connected with God and you don't have somebody with skin on who can come alongside you every so often when you're ready to give up, when you're ready to throw in the towel, when you're ready to shrug your shoulders and throw up your hands. If you don't have somebody with skin on every so often, right, Mo, who can come alongside, put their arm around your shoulder and say, don't give up. Don't give up. You're not alone. You're not alone. If you don't have somebody with skin, right, Ken? Somebody with skin on who can come alongside you every so often and just remind you, God loves you so crazy much. If you don't have somebody who can come alongside you every so often when you feel desolate, isolated, cut off, and alone, who can remind you, right? Who can remind you, you are not alone. Oh, precious ones. Precious ones. It's an important thing to realize. He's not just talking to you. He's talking to you all. He's talking to us all. And then Acts chapter 2 comes along, and it's one of the most celebrated moments in Scripture when the Holy Spirit comes in like a rushing mighty wind, and the people are caught off guard. It pushes them off balance, and they have to respond one way or another. You ever had one of those moments when you can't not respond? You ever had one of those moments when you can't not react, when you can't not be there? Something just arrests your attention. And the people looked and they said, what is this? What is this thing that's going on? And Peter gets up and he begins to bear witness. This is what was written of in the Old Testament. This is what written of from the prophet Joel in those days, in these days, in these last days. I will pour out my Spirit on all people, dreams and visions and all the rest. And you will know Him. You will know Him in these last days. Pour out my Spirit. And the people, it says 3,000 people that day had their lives changed by an encounter with the God who would not leave them alone. 3,000 people gave their hearts to Jesus. The people, they said, what should we do? their hearts were cut to the, they were cut to the heart, and they said, what should we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. And here's what I want to bring you to in this moment of what does it look like to live a not alone life? What does it look like to live a not alone life? And in the end of Acts chapter 2, you've got it there with me, right? Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And all the believers were together and they had everything in common, even selling property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts and they broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. It's this incredible picture of what a not alone life looks like. And frankly, that's what we want to invite you into when we talk about a connection that is more than Sunday. I mean, you can come on a Sunday and you can be blessed by Bryce and the team as they lead you in worship. You can come on a Sunday and you can show people that part of yourself that you're willing to show to people, right? And then you can go home and you can be who you are the rest of the time. You know the tragedy of that? The tragedy of that is the people that know you best, the people that you love the most, sometimes get the worst of you. Amen. And you gave the best of you to strangers. Where does that make sense? No, the not alone life goes beyond a Sunday experience. The not alone life spreads into Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and all the rest, right? The not alone life is not just a me and Jesus life. I mean, praise God for a me and Jesus life. If you don't have that, you don't got nothing. But you also need a few people who are the hands and feet of Jesus with skin on to you. Somebody who can come alongside you with an arm across your shoulder, who can wrap you up every so often and just whisper in your ear, you are not alone. It says this. Bryce, would you join me? It says this. It says, the people, they were praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord kept adding to their number daily those who were being saved. There's a line that's buried in the Psalms. You read it maybe, but maybe you didn't pick up on it. There's a line in Psalm 68, verse 6, it says, the Lord sets the lonely in families. For some of us, the loneliest moment of the week is right now. Oh, you weren't lonely when you were coming in from the parking lot. I mean, you know, everybody's shaking hands and high-fiving. Everybody's glad to see each other, right? You weren't lonely then. You weren't lonely when you were grabbing a cup of coffee and having small talk in the foyer. But you get to a moment like this. Somehow the worship hit you in a way you didn't expect it to, maybe. Maybe. Maybe God hijacked your heart through his word. Not because of me, but through his word. And you get to this moment and there's something inside of you with arms crossed, looking down, saying, yeah, but. That may be true for everybody else in the room, but Rusty, you don't understand. My life's different. Rusty, you don't understand. In fact, not only do you not understand, nobody understands. My wife doesn't even understand. My husband doesn't even understand. Nobody understands. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for a minute? And man, if that's you, you need this message more than anybody in the room. Because here's the truth, y'all. You are not alone. You're not alone. You are you're not alone. You're not. He hasn't left you isolated, desolate, orphaned, alone. You may say, God, why haven't you answered this prayer that I've been praying? You're not alone. You may say, God, why haven't you done for the people I love the thing I'm longing for you to do for the people that I love? They're hurting, they're broken, they need healing, they need restoration. Lord, why haven't you broken the chains that bind them in their addictions? Why haven't you shown up in the lives of the people that I love? Not only are you not alone, neither are they.